Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Please be seated. Prior to our Old Testament lesson, God had called Moses to cut two new tablets and come up to the top of Mount Sinai to receive the Ten Commandments a second time. The Lord descended on the mountain in an awesome cloud of glory and stood with Moses on the mountain. Moses bowed his face to the ground and worshiped the Lord there. Have you ever noticed that God's divine glory in itself brings fear? And it's perfectly natural to not know what to do in that situation. It's beyond all human understanding. Often, you will see in the Bible, the response of many of the people is to hit the dirt. Now, more elegantly put, is to bow with their face to the ground in fear and worship of the God of all power and glory. The Israelites summed it up nicely when they told Moses, "Behold, the Lord our God has shown us his glory and greatness, and we have heard his voice out of the midst of the fire. Now, therefore, why should we die? For this great fire will consume us. If we hear the voice of the Lord our God anymore, we shall certainly die." Our Old Testament lesson tells us that Moses brought the new tablets down the mountain to the people. And it says, Aaron and all the people of Israel saw Moses, and behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. Now, Moses didn't himself show forth the glory of God, but only reflected the Lord's glory. But the people were terrified all the same. Now, God had stressed to the people that they could not see his face and live because they were sinners. Although this was only a reflection of God's glory in Moses' face, even this could not be borne by the people of Israel. Even the reflection of God's glory reminded the Israelites that they were unworthy. Therefore, Moses had to wear a veil to cover his face. In our gospel lesson, Jesus takes three of his disciples, Peter, James, and John, up a high mountain by themselves. This was just 6 days after Peter had made that great confession on behalf of all the disciples. But then, shortly after that, Peter tries to dissuade Jesus from talking about his death and resurrection, and therefore Jesus has to rebuke him. But that doesn't stop Jesus from taking Peter with him up the mountain. Have you ever noticed how many amazing and awesome things happen in the Bible at the top of a mountain? Well, this was a very important event that we're talking about here that happened at the top of a mountain. Therefore, it should come as no surprise that Jesus would take these three disciples up to the top of the mountain. As Peter tells us, to be eyewitnesses of his majesty, for when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." And there, on top of that mountain as Jesus was praying, our gospel tells us he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. Jesus, as the Word become flesh, as God himself, true God, yet also true man, always bore his divine glory within himself. But his glory was usually veiled by his humanity and manifest only occasionally in Jesus' words and miracles. Here on the mountaintop, Jesus' divine glory was revealed to these three witnesses, uncontestable proof of the fact that he was the Christ, the Son of the living God, as Peter had confessed just a few days earlier. And our gospel lesson continues, "And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him." Luke tells us, appearing in glory, they appeared in glory and spoke of his departure, which he was about to fulfill at Jerusalem. Moses and Elijah appear in glory in order to testify that Jesus is truly the promised Messiah. According to the law, which is represented by Moses, and the prophets, represented by Elijah. Remember, the promised Messiah, which is also Hebrew for the Greek word Christ. So if you hear Messiah, think Christ. The promised Messiah would fulfill the law and the prophets to save his people. Now, Peter, overwhelmed with this whole event and terrified, according to Mark's account, not knowing what he's saying, offers, "Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah." But Jesus didn't come up to the top of this mountain to stay with Moses and Elijah. Jesus was preparing to go to his death in Jerusalem, where his glory would be fully revealed. Therefore, right in the middle of Peter's speech, God the Father breaks in. Our gospel says, "Behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him.'" The very words that God had spoken at Jesus' baptism, affirming he was indeed his beloved Son, and he is still well pleased with him. But then God adds, "Listen to him." No doubt this last is meant for the three disciples as Jesus has just begun to teach about his death and resurrection, and the disciples aren't listening to him. But for these three disciples, this new development, it's just too much for them. They are Jews, and they know from God's glory cloud and the voice of God from that cloud means death for sinners. And this terrifies them. They do the only thing their bodies can do at the moment. They hit the dirt. They fall on their faces. The same posture Moses took on Mount Sinai, one of fear and worship for the God of all glory, power and glory. But what else could they do? What would you do? When faced with God's divine glory and the certainty that you are a sinful being and totally unworthy, would you run and hide? Or would you bow your face to the ground and worship God the Father, full of all power and glory? When faced with our unworthiness, many may find an excuse not to be near God's glory, as the Israelites did. Some may choose not to come to church, and others may allow the world to distract them. Maybe their family events or sports get in the way of their time with God. Others try to hide their sins from God. They may think that they can hide what they did and watched on Saturday night from God on Sunday morning. But in Jeremiah, God tells us, "My eyes are on all their ways. They are not hidden from me, nor is their iniquity concealed from my eyes." Before God's awesome glory, we are all sinners. As Paul says in Romans, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Okay, so you might be thinking to yourself, then what do we do in the face of God's glory, in the face of our unworthiness? Well, God tells us what we should do right here in our gospel lesson. When the disciples are terrified because of their unworthiness, God points them to the only one who can make them worthy. God the Father says to them, "Listen to Jesus." And right when all hope seems lost for these disciples, what does Jesus say? Our gospel tells us Jesus came over and touched them, saying, "Rise and have no fear." And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. Jesus touches them to give them comfort. And then he tells them, "Rise and have no fear." Why is it that Jesus can tell them, "Rise and have no fear"? Because he is truly God, full of all power and glory, and also truly man, who will soon die on the cross to atone for their sins. And not just their sins only, but the sins of the whole world. In Jesus' death and resurrection, Jesus' glory is fully revealed. The transfiguration of our Lord shows us that Jesus is the true Christ, the Son of the living God. And it also foreshadows our adoption as sons and daughters. We who believe and are baptized into Christ's death and resurrection are given a glimpse of the glory that we will receive in heaven. Right now, all of you who believe in Jesus have received his glory. But it is veiled here on earth. When you come to Holy Communion, God's glory is revealed there in the bread and wine, which are truly Jesus' body and blood, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. When you hear God's word, God's glory shines forth like a beacon in the darkness. When you confess your sins before God and receive absolution from the pastor as from God himself, there is God's glory. To those who believe, Jesus says, "Rise and have no fear." Jesus Christ received your judgment. He received your punishment for your iniquities, all God's wrath, right there on the cross, where he died to save you from your sins. Therefore, when faced with your unworthiness before the awesome glory of God, you don't need to run and hide. You need to listen to the one who atoned for your sins and made you worthy. The transfiguration of our Lord reminds us that Jesus was fully glorified in his death and resurrection so that you could receive God's glory here on earth and there in eternity. In the name of Jesus, amen.